You're listening to Bloomberg Business Week from Bloomberg Radio.
I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Carol Masser. Welcome to the Bloomberg Business Week Extra. It's our weekly podcast bringing you an in-depth interview you will not hear anywhere else. And Jason, you caught up with David Mussafer.
I was so excited to do this. I have to say, full disclosure, this was an interview that I set in motion right as this was getting underway. Mussafer is a guy I've gotten to know over the past few years, one of the world's leading but maybe lesser known private equity executives. And one of the reasons I got to know him was he's the lead director, was the chairman of Lululemon, an investment that his firm went into twice. He understands the world so well. Check it out.
Well, David, let me start by asking you, first of all, how are you? Like, what's it like for you personally, family-wise, just sort of as a human being here?
Well, I mean, firstly, that's the first question that we share with everybody, which is firstly, just how are you doing? Because this, the physical element of this is unlike anything we've ever dealt with before. And so thank you for asking. Personally, I'm doing well. And actually, I'm quarantined here in outside of Boston. So we're in the suburbs in Boston. And I've got four 20-year-old kids, and three of them are actually here with us. So it's been, in the face of some really difficult times, some unique elements of being with your family.
And how is it feeling and looking there on the ground in Boston? I mean, I know you're outside the city, but I know you're in touch with a lot of people. You're very active from a civic perspective. You know, I feel like different cities in different parts of the country are at a different moment here. And, you know, we're recording on March 31st and it's changing daily. But what does it feel like in and around Boston right now?
Well, I mean, I think it's probably equivalent to the major metro areas. If you think about, obviously, New York, which is such the epicenter right now, but Boston is a half a step behind and right there. So there's a lot of fear and concern that I think exists here in London, in Paris, certainly Madrid, and, you know, so many of our major metropolitan areas today. And Boston, you know, we have terrific medical care here in the city, but I think everybody is certainly mindful of the time and where we sit today at near the, you know, the peak of this crisis.
And so let's talk about the firm and your portfolio companies. And I guess I'd start with the firm. How do you, everybody's sort of learning these lessons. We are certainly day to day. How do you run the firm at a time like this remotely? This is such a people intensive business in many ways, relationship intensive.
Well, I mean, Jason, the one thing, you know, we have offices in Shanghai and Hong Kong. So, badly, we had a little preview of how we were going to need to manage remotely. And so we were prepared and set up for remote access once, you know, we got to that point. And I think one of the lessons, we actually distributed this the very first day of our, you know, that when we went to remote work worldwide, we shared a lessons learned memo that we had asked our team in Asia to prepare. And it was both, you know, pointers, serious points, lighthearted elements. But the key theme that we heard loud and clear was the need to overcommunicate, the need for video, because as humans, we take so much of our cues from facial expressions
right,
that you actually can't get over the phone like we're doing right now. And so, you know, those were some elements that we realized early on were going to be really important to make sure that we were prepared to do that.
And so is that a situation, David, where, I mean, you sort of have to invest in some infrastructure that maybe you wouldn't normally have, or does all of that already exist for you?
Well, I think the, you know, the critical infrastructure that allows you to have access to all of your, you know, your data, as well as to have systems that you can use remotely, were the access points. But I think, like everybody, you know, they're spending much more time in the video conversations. And so literally, you know, just using WebEx and Zoom a host of other resources like that have become the critical links. And we had a real incredible milestone last Friday. So like a lot of groups, we held a global town hall. We did it at 10 in the morning. So that was, you know, near midnight in some places of the world, in, you know, in Europe. And we connected all 15 of our offices worldwide and all 500 people. And we actually put all 500 on a Zoom, and it was incredible, you know, doing the whole sort of Brady Bunch type of visual with your entire office infrastructure. And it actually worked.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we're really finding there's just so many incredible ways to stay connected. And that's the most important thing today.
Right. Well, and I do wonder, you know, as you're looking beyond the firm, I mean, you're obviously talking to a lot of different CEOs, you know, CEOs that you have invested in, that you're, you know, you own part or most of the company, but also presumably, excuse me, prospective investments as well. What are you hearing from CEOs that you work with closely?
Well, I'll tell you, I've been incredibly impressed with the CEOs that I've spoken to, and I've spoken to a lot. So we have about 80 portfolio companies globally at Advent, and obviously the, you know, the pressure and challenges that these companies face is enormous. And, you know, to a man or woman that are leading our portfolio companies, they have a clarity, a focus, and a resolution that just gives them, gives everyone the confidence that we've got the tools, we're going to get through this. And, you know, and really trying to think about how do you think of creative ideas to help the company in the interim, as well as long-term solutions that are going to help the company be even stronger when we get on the other side of this. So, you know, CEOs are right in the midst of their most challenging times. And so they're not spending a lot of time philosophizing about broader issues. They're thinking about the here and now. What can they do to protect their people? What can they do to make sure that we keep everyone safe? And what can they do to stay connected with their customers, even if they're forced to disconnect in certain ways?
Right. And so financially, I know that there's been a lot of talk among your peers in the private equity space of, you know, managers telling their portfolio companies, draw down your lines, you know, make sure you have a financial cushion. How much of that did you do, or did you feel like you needed to do?
Well, I mean, I think that we recognized early on, this is so different than any other crisis we've faced. And so we've had different times in all of our business careers when we've seen a downturn, a recession, a deep, great recession. We've never had an interruption in global commerce like we're experiencing today. And so I think the need for liquidity, we recognized that early on. We didn't do it across the board, but went case by case with our companies and tried to make sure that we maximize the liquidity and the tools that they would have as they went into this. So I feel like, you know, we've done the best we can with our teams and working closely with them to give them the tools that that they need today.
So I want to ask you a question that we're asking all of the top leaders and investors that we're talking to these days, which is, what's the most important and in your view, maybe underappreciated way that the world, or at least sort of the investment world in your case, will be different on the other side of this?
I mean, Jason, it will be different. And, you know, we don't know exactly, but I've spent a lot of my time asking, talking to so many different people because, you know, too often, I think we rely on our own personal experience. If you think to this crisis, we knew we had this problem in Asia as late as early February. And yet, because we hadn't visualized this type of global scenario in our lifetime, it was really hard for so many people to visualize. And so trying to think about how will things be different, I think, you know, inevitably, you know, things will. And so I think we're trying to think about that very question. There's a prospect that, you know, it could be a long recovery. Mm-hmm. And you could see, you know, entirely different approaches that people take, given that they've spent more time working from home. So, you know, I don't think we have a hard and fast idea to say you're going to see this change. Partly what's going to happen is that it depends on the severity of, you know, how we come out of this crisis period. And so I think making sure that you're preparing for some pretty difficult times, but then there's an optimist in all of us. And in so many ways, I think you're always surprised by the power and creativity of all of the people that you're connected with globally. Mm-hmm. And I think that's another way that we will be surprised, that today we're at the peak of the concern and being so nervous about what stands ahead of us. But what I think will also surprise you is that people will come up with incredibly powerful new ways that will shine optimism on, you know, the future going forward.
Well, and to that end, I mean, as a private equity investor, you are investing for the long term. Your job, quite literally, on behalf of your investors, is to look around the corner. So through, you know, your existing portfolio companies, through your teams who presumably are still working hard analyzing opportunities, are there any themes that are emerging at this point?
Well, I mean, in terms of themes, you know, clearly, the frontline businesses are the ones that are facing the enormous pressure today. So, you know, literally with mandated shutdowns. And so our restaurants, our hotels, our businesses that are basically consumer facing are all thinking about how do they develop and fine tune their business model so that they can lean into, whether if it's restaurants, into curbside, delivery, takeout, or if they're other consumer-facing businesses thinking about ways that they connect directly, more specifically with their customer. And then longer term, inevitably, I think to your previous question, you know, people will, there will be some changes. So there was a massive wave towards, you know, urbanization. Maybe you may see, you know, some people say, you know, that distance that they had was something that they were happy to live with a little bit more. So I don't think we know all of the impacts that we're going to see coming out of this. I think that clearly, you know, we were at the peak of the economic cycle, and this abrupt stop is something that is something we've never experienced before. And so I think, you know, the hope that, and when I talk to so many of our CEOs, their first concern is the safety and the care of their employees and their broader teams. And so given, you know, the pressure that everyone's under today, that's a big part of what people are worried about, just making sure that we can do the best job we can to help everyone.
Yeah. I mean, I do wonder, and this sort of gets to some things you and I have talked about over the years, David, especially through your investment with Lululemon, which I want to talk about in a minute. But, you know, at times like this, it does feel like human beings change, and human beings, you know, can't help but change in some ways. And I feel like, you know, you, and maybe it's because you and I are fellow Southerners, we think about these things a little bit differently, maybe than others. But, you know, this notion of our relationships with people and sort of the changing nature of them, but also, you know, the strong reminder of our own humanity. I do wonder how that works through, you know, the investment world and public markets and private markets and businesses to some extent.
Well, I mean, I think you see it going on right now. So, you know, we put together a little something to share some of these stories with all of our CEOs, mm-hmm. because each of our companies are taking on initiatives, and they aren't doing it for any reason other than it's just the right thing to do to try to help people any way they can. And so almost all of our companies are taking on public health initiatives, are shifting production if they can to create protective gear. They're shifting to alleviate pressure in hospitals by creating other forms, other avenues to deal with non-emergency treatment. They're dealing with, you know, I think Bloomberg, you guys had an article yesterday where you shared about what we're doing with Ambridge.
Yeah.
Where we're actually taking our the hotels that we manage and working with first responders and healthcare providers to provide housing and a safe distance so these healthcare providers can stay healthy while they're doing the frontline work that's so critical right this minute.
And so you also, I mean, this is also a time for philanthropy in many ways. And I know that you and the partners have come together to fund some of that. You and I, side note, have worked together on our Brackets for a Cause charity effort at Bloomberg, which sort of took a pivot, thanks to you and others, you know, to sort of direct some of the money that normally folks would be betting gamely on the NCAA tournament. But you did something of an even larger magnitude with the firm. Tell me about that.
I mean, Jason, I think that you know, for us, it was just a question of what can we do right now to try to help in any way. And so in the scheme of the problem worldwide, you know, the need is immense. But we at Advent came together as the partners individually to begin a fund that hopefully will be matched or multiplied as we begin to distribute these funds. And we're channeling this effort towards, you know, today's equivalent of the first responders, people that are in the healthcare profession, people that are in frontline positions, and really trying to support them, their families, with any way we can. And so this is something we created, and we're the Advent Relief Fund. We funded it with $25 million, and we're going to work to get this out as soon as we possibly can to as many people as we can to try to help them through this time period. It includes, you know, our portfolio companies as well and some of their employees. But this is a broader effort on behalf of, you know, Advent to just try to help any way that we can, quite frankly.
Interesting. Well, tell me a little bit about Lululemon. You're the executive chairman there. You understand that business innately. And for those of you who need more information about this, it was a great story, I think, that we did an interview that I did with you and Calvin McDonald back in December. It feels like 100 years ago. We were sitting in a store together. Those stores now all closed for at least a few more days or weeks. Tell me the view of this through Lulu.
Well, at first I want to correct you. I'm now lead director. So
we've
got an incredible chairman, Glenn Murphy, but I'm still, you know, very active.
That's
with,
right.
With
I knew that. I apologize. We'll clean that up.
And in terms of Lulu, you know, Lululemon is an incredible business and we're really, really proud of our involvement. You know, in particular, that business, you know, remains incredibly strong. We invested in that business over 5 years ago, and today it's still debt-free with nearly $1 billion in cash. And so they're able to do a lot of things that, you know, I think, again, we're really proud of the leadership that they're able to take. So they've committed to, you know, covering all of their store employees for as long as they can. And they're also doing some amazing things to support their ambassadors. So these are people that are largely part of the gig economy.
Yeah.
And so, again, they're part of the Lulu world. Lulu is stepping up in other ways. And you'll hear more from Calvin and the team directly very soon. But they've got a host of initiatives that they're unleashing to try to be a supportive citizen. In terms of the business itself, the stores are closed. And so, you know, the stores that are ironically open at Lulu are in China. So, and our worldwide stores are closed otherwise. And so clearly the business is shifted to online and e-com. And so, you know, I think that again, Lulu's in a very fortunate position given that people are thinking more about their own personal health and wellness. And in any event, you know, we're confident that the company's very well positioned to continue to do well when we come out of this.
Well, I was thinking as we were preparing for this interview, I have gone full athleisure in my current work arrangement. I don't think I've put on a colored shirt. I know you make colored shirts too, but I don't think I've put on a colored shirt in the last 3 weeks. So, I mean, it is, to be slightly more serious, I mean, I know that we talked about this late last year, this notion that the e-commerce side was something you guys invested heavily in over the past few years, right? I mean, that was almost a redo in many ways.
Well, it was part of a broader effort to really lean in from a data and analytics and technology standpoint. And so Lulu had an incredible connection with their customers, but they really just hadn't invested heavily to be able to work directly in the way that they needed to. And so we invested significant dollars in our e-com capability so that the experience was better for customers, the assortment, the ability to create ideas and offer product. But, you know, today, I think that, you know, everybody is clearly just trying to think about, you know, how do you stay healthy and get on the other side of this? And so, you know, we're certainly there for people today and, you know, pleased that we made some of those investments in the past. But, you know, I think that we see so much more that we can do to work directly with customers. And, you know, you're seeing more of what we're offering. I think we're offering a host of digital classes and other things to, you know, people that are connected with the company so that, you know, again, we can just try to connect directly and help out, you know, during this incredible time period.
And retail closed for the foreseeable future. What's the update there?
Well, I mean, I think that you know, the need to really create social distancing and be as firm as we can is really paramount to get to the other side of this. So short of a therapeutic or something that really gets released, we've got to make sure that, you know, the country stays healthy. And you've seen that, you know, the impact of this terrible virus isn't uniform. And so seeing the incredible, you know, pain and suffering that it inflicted on places like Spain and Italy are certainly something that I think gives everyone pause to say, we really need to make sure that we do everything we can as a community to stop that. And so, you know, the commerce and business is a secondary, you know, affair until we get on the other side of this pandemic.
All right. So as we wrap up, David Musafer, any predictions from an investment perspective? You know, how do you look at this through that lens, having invested through recessions, through great recessions, through downturns, through, you know, international crises? What does this look like on the other side for an investor?
Well, I think what you're seeing the impacts already. So businesses that were weak are certainly going to suffer tremendously in this. And so what I think you're going to see is strong businesses get even stronger. Mm. And, you know, those are part of the type of investment opportunities that we're seeing a lot more today. So certainly there are going to be restructuring related opportunities where there are businesses that are suffering and, you know, maybe you're looking at an opportunity to buy the debt at a discount. I think what we're thinking about at Advent is more of the opportunity to invest in great businesses and to really try to help them like we did with Lululemon. And so, you know, that's really, I think, where we've excelled. We've done probably a dozen carve-out deals where we've bought incredible divisions. And I know that you guys saw that we're buying ThyssenKrupp Elevators,
yep,
which which we announced just as this pandemic was really beginning to take hold. And so leaning in to buy some incredible businesses and really investing heavily to help them be even stronger and more impactful on the other side of the crisis is the way that I think, you know, we'll see. And when we look back at that time period, if you think back to the 2009-10 crisis during the last recession, we were one of the most active investors in the world for that two-year period in private equity. And we bought some amazing companies like TransUnion, WorldPay, Vantiv. And, you know, I think that given the connection and the stewardship that hopefully, you know, we're able to bring, that's going to continue to be an opportunity for us. And as we, you know, get into the other parts of this cycle.
And that was David Musfer. He's the chairman managing partner of Advent International, also the lead director at Lululemon. And a fun, wide-ranging conversation, I have to say. Carol, here's a guy who is running a global firm, making investments, but also keeping an eye on existing investments and figuring out how to run a bunch of companies in an unprecedented time.
You've been listening to Bloomberg Business Week Extra.
And be sure to tune into Bloomberg Business Week Radio live Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. I'm Jason Kelly.
And I'm Carol Masser. This is Bloomberg.